Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And boy, oh boy, do we have a lot of economic and political events to talk about. Here are some of the questions we'll be discussing today. It's Wednesday. It's April 3rd, 2013. Of course, we're going to be talking about North Korea. We're also going to be talking about the markets, gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. And we're going to be talking, the first segment of the program, we'll be talking about the currencies. The Japanese yen is falling. The pound is falling. The euro is fell, but it's kind of stabilizing. We're going to talk about the dollar. Sheriffs, can they be arrested by feds? And we're going to be talking about gold and 10,000. You know, with gold being down 50 bucks from the beginning of the week, not quite 50, but close, I bet people aren't thinking about $10,000 gold. So these are all the things we're going to be talking about today. And first, let's talk about the markets. Gold and silver. You have gold down $17 today at $15.59. And what's interesting, early morning trading, it was up about $5, $6. And, you know, the old 11 o'clock, you know, when that Pacific Coast gets to work, man, they just kill us. And gold was down 17 at $15.59. You have silver down 24 cents at $27.12. Platinum was down $33 at $15.46. Palladium was down, almost 2%, also down 14 at 756. And of course, my call on palladium would be very difficult. I haven't yet seen it move over that $800 level. And but they really hit platinum today, down $33 at a little over 2%. So gold's doing very well if you compare it to platinum and palladium, same way with silver. The markets today, the USDX today down 0.18 at 82.71, down a little bit, but not so much. Crude oil, the hammered crude oil today, down almost $3. Folks, these numbers, I mean, you just don't see these numbers move in this fashion. 94.38. And the markets today, let's bring those numbers up. What did those markets finally do today? You had the Dow down 111 points, 111.66, that's not quite 1%, at 14,550. NASDAQ was down 36 points at 1.11%. Interesting, at 32.18. S&P down 16, a little over 1% at 15.53. The 10-year yield down 0.05 at 181. The euro, 128.5. So some of the information, everyone is really holding their breath for Friday about the jobs report. The ADP came out today. They reported that the U.S. private sector will add about 158,000 jobs in March, and of course, it's weaker than expected. And of course, the ADP always reports just a few days ahead of the government's monthly jobs report, and that's pretty much what I said yesterday. I think they're going to have a weaker than expected. And ADP actually was talking about the guy that they bring on there was talking about construction jobs and Sandy. I'm not really quite sure. Didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but you can see some, you know, variations in construction, I suppose. Alfred Addisk.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Melody.
Hi, Al.
Interesting day, huh?
Oh, crazy.
Another big day after tomorrow's, or after yesterday's decline in the price of gold, and now today's. We're down a good $40 or more in the 2 days. So we'll talk about that. We'll get into that. I know that a lot of people are concerned, and they're wondering, and there are people who think that there are some people that are arguing gold has seen its peak and gold is going down and so on. We're going to talk about that, one of our subjects, as soon as you're ready to rock and or roll.
I'm ready. I'm always ready to rock and roll.
All right. Well, then here's this is fundamentals from my perspective. These are the fundamentals I see relative to gold. And you folks listening in the audience, you make up your own mind if you agree or disagree. But these are fundamentals, not simply of how to get rich. This program is called Financial Survival, and it reflects the idea that your survival may be impaired, right, to some degree. And when we talk about these fundamentals, the object is not simply to go out there and make a fortune, but the object is to try to survive in very difficult circumstances, and it appears that the circumstances are becoming more difficult. Here's fundamentals for me. First fundamental, I've been talking about this for 5 years. The national debt is too great to ever be repaid. It can't be repaid. And as I've harped on for years, what can't be paid won't be paid. And the significance of that is huge. Sounds like a simplistic, obvious statement. What can't be paid won't be paid. Oh, big deal. Sounds stupid. No, it's profound, because it ultimately means that the paper debt instruments that memorialize our debts are going to turn out to be worthless. What can't be paid won't be paid. If you've got a piece of paper that says the government owes you $100,000, you've got a $100,000 bond, if that bond can't be paid, it's not merely true that the government can't pay its debt, it's true that your paper, your piece of paper that you used to think of as an asset, is going to turn out to be nothing but a collector's item, and maybe a trash collector's item. That's all. It's going to lose its value. If the government can't pay its debts, we are going to lose what a lot of people think of as wealth. That wealth is currently stored in the form of pension funds. It's stored in the form of Social Security. It's stored in the form of bank accounts. All right? If it's true that the national debt is too great to be repaid, then some significant percentage of the debt instruments that memorialize that debt are going to be found to be worthless. Let me go through the numbers a little bit. Now, here's where it becomes interesting in part. Obama says we have $16 trillion in national debt. Now, if that's true, the debt is about $50,000 for every man, woman, and child in this country. This is not so enormous. This would be painful to pay it, but it's not so enormous that it couldn't be paid. In theory, we could, one way or another, family four, your fair share of the national debt, $200,000, over a period of years, it's possible to squeeze an extra $200,000 out of that family. Not going to be easy, all right? But it could be done. But We get to shadowstats.com, John Williams, and he's been calculating the national debt and other economic indicators for years based on the same formula they used 15, 20 years ago. Government keeps changing the formula to get the numbers they want, and they don't give us an accurate and honest depiction of the size of the national debt or how much inflation we have or whatever. Williams says the size of the national debt now is about $85 trillion. Government says, Obama administration says it's $16 trillion. And John Williams says, no, it's not. It's about $85 trillion. That's $275,000 for every man, woman, and child. It is not going to be paid. I can't give you absolute evidence of that fact, but I look out the window, watch people walk by the house, and I ask myself, does that guy look like he's got an extra $250,000 to give the government? Do you think he's got another $250,000 for his wife and another $250,000 for each of his kids? And everybody walks by my house, I don't think they've got it. All right? I know I don't, and I don't think you do either, and that tells me that the debt can't be paid. $16 trillion, we might be able to pay it with difficulty. $85 trillion, it's not going to be paid. My guess is 80 to 90% of that debt. If the national debt's $85 trillion, 80 to 90% of that debt must be repudiated either by openly saying, sorry about that, folks, we can't give you the money, or by inflation. We'll get more to inflation in a moment. The Congressional Budget Office says the national debt, including unfunded liabilities, is about $650,000, $202 trillion. About $650,000 for every man, woman, and child. There is no way you're going to squeeze $650,000 out of every man, woman, and child in this country. That debt can't be paid. At least 90 to 95% of that debt must be repudiated. First principle, national debt's too great to ever be repaid. Second principle, the national debt is memorialized in a series of paper debt instruments like bonds, even stocks, pension funds, bank accounts, Social Security accounts. All right? If it's true that 80 to 95% of the national debt can't be paid, then it follows that 80 to 95% of those paper debt instruments must be shown to be worthless. From me, this is fundamental principle in my thinking. If it's true that the paper debt instruments are bound to be repudiated by 80 to 95% over the course of who knows, the next 6 months, the next 6 years, I can't tell you a date. I don't know. But if that repudiation is bound to happen, and from my sense, my perspective, it is. It can't be avoided. It can't be escaped. If that repudiation is going to happen, I don't want to store my wealth in the form of paper debt instruments. I must, therefore, look for something tangible, and I'm looking at gold and silver. You can look at land and tools and a bunch of other things. There are other tangible options. But from my perspective, gold and silver will be the best. All right? I don't want paper debt instruments because the debts can't be paid. They have to turn out to be mostly worthless sometime in the future. Third principle. The only way the government can avoid admitting that the debt can't be paid is by inflating the currency so they can pay off the national debt with cheaper dollars. Government has shown its determination to inflate the currency throughout my lifetime and yours by reducing the dollar's purchasing power by 97% since I was born back in 1945. A dollar today will buy... It takes $100 today to buy what $3 would have purchased back when I was a kid. That's inflation. I presume, and because they have been persistently inflating throughout my lifetime, I presume that their policy of inflation will continue at an even faster rate in the future. I presume that the only way that the current fiat monetary system can survive is by means of inflation and perhaps even hyperinflation. Now, these are presumptions. That's what you do when you peer into the future. You make a few presumptions. And I presume that the government must continue with a policy of inflation. Now, if my presumption is false, then we're headed into an era of deflation when the paper dollars grow more valuable. But when they do, government is forced to pay off its debts with more expensive dollars. They can't pay the debt they have right now. They certainly can't pay the debt if we have more expensive dollars. Deflation is deadly to the government. It's deadly to the economy. It's one of the hallmarks. Deflation is a hallmark of economic depression. If the government allows the dollar to go more valuable and deflate, it will accelerate our progress toward that day when government sits back and says, we got to admit it, we're broke, Bubba. We don't have the money. We can't pay all you taxpayers and all the rest of you people who lend us money. Sorry. You know, wish we could, but we can't. They cannot survive deflation. Again, it's a hallmark of economic depression. If the government allows deflation, the economy will collapse and the value of the paper debt instruments will be repudiated and destroyed in fairly short order. Economic hardship and even political uprisings could follow. Government, I presume, will not allow deflation unless government is too weak to actually control the economy or government wants an economic collapse. Now, if government wants an economic collapse, I guarantee they're going to have one. There's nothing I can do about that. But it's the only way I'm able to understand that they would want to allow deflation. Again, governments relied on inflation since the end of World War II. And although the current price of gold is consistent with deflation, we've seen it falling now for some time. The dollar is growing more valuable relative to gold. That's a fact of the matter. I remain convinced, nevertheless, that government wants inflation. Government can't have inflation without allowing the price of gold to rise. They can't sit back and say, well, the price of bread can go from $5 a loaf to $10 a loaf. That would be inflation. But we're still going to hold the price of gold down. Gold is a fundamental barometer, and the people will believe it. And when they see the price going down, they'll understand the dollar is becoming more valuable, and the government can't stand that. Right now we have Europe. The price, the value of the European euro is falling. Japan has declared its determination to reduce the value of the yen. And they want that. They want the inflation. They need it to stimulate their economy, their exports. They have to have inflation. And if they inflate and we don't, we become less competitive. Our products won't sell overseas. We have more unemployment. Our economy comes into greater jeopardy if our government allows deflation to continue. And when the price of gold is going down, that's evidence of deflation. Now, I sit back and I look at this and I conclude, again, I presume that government wants the economy to continue to function. And if it does, we're going to see inflation. And we might not see it this week or next week, but government has to have inflation to survive, and they can't have inflation while they're still holding the price of gold down. It is contrary to what a lot of people would suppose. In my opinion, it is in government's interest to cause inflation, not just to the price of bread, not just to inflate the dollar. They've got to allow gold to come up. Nobody will believe they really have significant inflation in this economy unless the price of gold is allowed. I see it as in government's interest unless government is behaving in treason. They want to engage in treason and they want to take this country down. Fine, then deflate the dollar. There's nothing I can do about that. But if they do, all the debt instruments will soon be repudiated. And everybody who's keeping whatever wealth they have in the form of paper debt instruments will lose their assets. And whatever the price of gold is when the stuff hits the fan, those people holding gold will have something. They'll have real wealth in their hands. They'll have real wealth in their pockets. They will be able to function in the event of a serious financial catastrophe in this country. And it's for that reason I sit back and I say, I don't care what the government's doing right now, and I don't care what the price of gold is. I'm hanging on to my gold and my silver. Reality, fundamentals tell me that if I'm going to survive the trouble that I think is coming in this country, I am going to need gold and silver. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, what did you say, Melody?
Huh? Oh, your ears are so very good.
No, if I can hear it, I guarantee the audience can hear it, too. Oh, shoot. I think you said shoot. Is that what you said?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, you can say shoot on the radio, but yeah, you can't say, you know what you can't
I
say?
I can't say those other words.
No. So in any case, without knowing what you said, oh, shoot, about, it's time for me to inquire as to whether you have a special. Have a special for today? No.
This is serious business here, and you know what? We do have a lot of great coins. And I'll tell you, folks, you just had a $50 drop in gold basically a $3 drop in silver. So it's an excellent buying opportunity. And I just want to remind you, listeners, for those of you who took advantage of the special, the Mint State 62 $5 Liberty gold piece, I mean, those coin prices didn't even move with the drop that we've seen this week. So you did very good for those who bought them. You did very good at picking up a very good coin that was priced right. And you don't have to worry about that $50 drop in gold that we saw this week, because your coins are actually moving up. And so good job on that. And I can't, again, tell the listeners, when I give specials, it's important that you pay attention. Someone called me yesterday and said, well, you know that guy, you know, they're selling 90% silver at $4 over spot. $4 over spot for 90% silver? I don't care if you couldn't find another dime in this world, I wouldn't pay $4 over spot for 90% silver when you can buy silver eagles for a lot less. So don't get caught up in these pitches well, we're the only ones who have it, but, you know, we're going to charge you $4 if you want it, is crazy. Don't get caught up. Don't get caught up on these, you know, whims and, you know, oh, we can't get it, so we're not locking in prices, but, you know, we'll sell you this. I was just at, I got an email from, you know, a very popular economists, you know, they sell a lot of paper, and, you know, it's a big update on gold and silver now, and they're talking about why are the metals falling when there's so much central bank money printing going on and so many hot spots around the world. You got the Euro crisis, you got Cyprus, Iran, North Korea, and there's more. Well, they're telling you that gold's going a lot lower, but they also want to put you in paper. That's the whole point. You can't fall in. Stick to the fundamentals that Al was telling you in the first segment of the program. You've got to stay on those fundamentals. You can't get rocked out by what we're seeing and what they're able to command in this gold and silver markets. And it's just so important. But gold and silver, great buying opportunities. We've had a lot of buyers of both gold and silver, and so anything that you can get into, now's the time to do it. I had a customer call me today, he says, or I think it was yesterday, he says, I'm really happy. This is the first time I've been able to buy gold under $1,600. So he's been a regular buyer for many years, and he's taken advantage of the lower prices. So I hope that the listeners do, too.
He gets it. He understands. The fundamental purpose of buying gold, you know, if you're only looking at gold in order to make some sort of an enormous profit, and all of us are delighted when gold is going up. I have been over the past decade, and when it went up, hey, hooray, hooray, I'm not pleased to see it going down. But why do you buy gold? You buy it because you look and understand that the fiat currency is unlikely to survive a lot longer. It has lost 97% of its value in my lifetime. This is a trend that is likely to continue. It will, of the 3% that's left, it's going to lose most of that in the next several years, months, who knows? I don't know. But the trend is there. How cheap, how worthless do your dollars have to be before somebody sits back and says, gee, I wish I had something tangible that wasn't going to fall in value? That's why you're buying gold, or at least that's why I am. It's because I don't want fiat dollars. I know they have to crash and burn. I don't know when, but I know it must happen, in part because government's been doing it throughout my lifetime, point one, and point two, because the fiat dollar, when it grows more valuable, by means of deflation, it means the national debt becomes increasingly unpayable, and the government is already at a point where they can't pay any of the debt. It's unpayable now. Deflation makes it only worse. That tells me two things are going to happen. Either government will inflate in order to hold the economy together, or government will allow deflation, in which case the national debt will have to be openly repudiated. Now, take your pick. Where do you want to go? More inflation and higher prices for gold, or deflation where government says, sorry, we can't pay the debt? Either way, from my perspective, those people that are holding gold and silver in their hands are going to be enormously better off than those people who thought, gee, I got a piece of paper here. Says I'm a millionaire. Says I got $100,000. Says I got $1 million. Says whatever. It's a piece of paper. It's going to be repudiated, and it'll be repudiated more quickly in an era of deflation than it will be in an era of inflation. So.
And you know what, Al? It's true. There isn't anything really that makes sense. I mean, in the past, you know, Iran would, you know, come out and say a few things. Israel would say Syria or whatever, wherever part of the world that you're in, you'd have a reaction in gold. You'd have a reaction in oil. Things would react like they're supposed to, maybe not as much, and maybe they were hit back down and so forth. But now you have these things that are happening and these crises around the world that's happening, and you have the more war drums banging, and there isn't anything that's truly reacting. To me, there is such a disconnect.
Oh, I wouldn't say it's a disconnect. I'd say they're intentionally holding it down, but it's contrary to the government's interests.
Absolutely. They're holding it down. But usually when you'd have these instances, you could still get a reaction from it. We're not even getting a reaction from it. So there is a disconnect over and above from what the government is doing to keep the prices suppressed.
There's a disconnect with reality, but there's not a disconnect from government manipulation.
No, let me finish from this. Disconnect from the reality tells me we're getting super close to something severe happening. We are closer to that event, because if we didn't have that big disconnect from reality, to me, it tells me we'd have a little more time, maybe a year, maybe 2 years. But when we have that big disconnect from reality, and they're still suppressing the prices, to me, we're in a far more dangerous place than anybody even realizes. And it's getting closer.
I agree with you. We see, you know, it's one thing to see a leaf in the breeze.
Yes.
It blows by your window, and it kind of blows, and look, it looks like the wind is coming from the north. It's another thing to see a storm of leaves in the breeze moving at high speed in apparently the same direction. It gives you increased confidence that something serious is coming this way. And most of us at least sense this. And whether, you know, you can debate whether we have reliable intuition, whether we're just wishful thinking or whatever, but it certainly seems that a lot of people understand and sense things are moving more rapidly. They've accelerated. I get that feeling in part. It takes more time every week for me to read and digest the articles that are coming through the news in order to try to understand and make sense of what I'm looking at. A month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, you had to spend a certain amount of time trying to figure things out and put the pieces together. Now we have new pieces. We have new information, and it's coming in every day. And we get done with Cyprus, and the next thing you know, we've got North Korea. And when North Korea finishes up, perhaps we're going to Venezuela or someplace else. There is one problem after another, after another, and they are coming at us with increased speed. And that tells me we are headed for something. If I had to guess, when might we see a problem where it becomes overt? And my guess would be not until after April 15th. My guess, insofar if you subscribe to the notion that the government might be capable of orchestrating a difficult situation, perhaps taking advantage of it, I don't know. You can look at it from any conspiracy theory that seems appropriate to you from that perspective. But I don't think government is going to allow the stuff to hit the fan prior to April 15th, because that's the day when all the good little taxpayers send their money to Uncle Sam. And he's going to want to collect that money. It'll come in after April 15th, and I don't know how long it takes to process all those checks. It might take a couple of weeks. It might take a month. I don't know how long it takes them to process, but they will process those checks, take all the money they can possibly lay hands on, and then, if you subscribe to conspiracy theories, then they'll sit back and say, well, we got all the money they're going to give us. Now we could have a little bit of a financial problem. Will that happen? I don't know, but you know, I'm just speculating from a conspiratorial perspective. That would suggest you have maybe into May, right? Maybe into May. And I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not making a prediction. I am simply considering, you know, a hypothesis, and, you know, is a possibility. That's all I'm offering right now. I don't think they're going to let anything happen before April 15th. A couple weeks after, they should have the money, should have been cleared and collected. Then maybe.
That I'm going to file now? In an extension.
Good idea. Why take a chance? Maybe the government won't even be here, you know. By the time the extension comes due, maybe what passes for government will be gone.
Well, here's the, you know, we do have questions coming in by email, and I want to get to one of Obamacare's navigators, but let's get to this first question here. Can the banking catastrophe in Cyprus be repeated elsewhere in Europe as well as in the U.S.?
I would say absolutely. I don't see any reason why it can't. I mean, the big question is not, can it happen elsewhere? The big question is there anything that can be done to prevent it from happening elsewhere? We can expect to see something similar before this is done, perhaps another episode in Greece, probably another probably a similar episode in Italy or Spain or perhaps Portugal. We are going to see these banks under an enormous amount of strain. We have seen law that is at least proposed and perhaps enacted. I don't know if it's been enacted yet in Canada, where they're saying, oh, in the event of a national emergency, the government can seize the funds of the people out of their bank accounts, or the banks can seize those funds. The idea of bail-ins instead of bailouts is propagating throughout the world, and banks and governments are saying, well, we should be able to take the depositors' money and use it to support the banks. They're trying to rob you, folks. They understand that we are in jeopardy. Our financial survival is threatened. And what that means, government's financial survival is also threatened. And the difference is government has, they can pass laws that say, well, it's okay for us to rob you, see, because we're the government. We do so many good deeds for everybody that, well, we're entitled to rob the public. What do you have to do? You can't pass any laws to protect yourself. You have to get your head screwed on straight and say, where am I going to put my wealth in a form and place where I can hang on to it? Because I can't depend on government to protect my wealth. Government's broke, and I guarantee you they will rob us given the opportunity. So we're talking about the national debt, too great to be repaid. They will do anything they can, or at least in my opinion, they'll do anything they can to try to continue to maintain the illusion that they're not insolvent, they're not bankrupt, and the debt can be repaid. As long as they can maintain that illusion, I guess we can hold the system together a while longer. But if they have to rob you to maintain the illusion that they're still solvent, if any of you know of a reason why your government would not do that, I would very much like to hear it. They've done it before. They did it in 33 when they said, we got to have all the gold. All right? They took it all out of circulation and held it for the government. And they said, well, it's necessary. So the point to all of this is, of course, whatever's going on in Cyprus can happen virtually any other place in the world if the government and or banks find themselves caught between the proverbial rock and the hard place. The way out is rob the depositors.
Since Cyprus is divided in two parts, Greek and Turkey, does the economic chaos affect both parts or just the Greek, since Greece is in dire straits?
It affects, in theory, what's happened in Cyprus, even affects us over here in the United States, if only insofar as it shakes confidence, public confidence, in the banks. All right, U.S. banks. I would guarantee you, I don't know that this is true, and I haven't seen any numbers, but I would bet you that there has been a detectable uptick over the last 2 weeks in people that are pulling their funds out of American banks. I'm not saying that 50% of the people are pulling their money out of the banks. I'm not saying that there's a bank run, but I'm saying that if the numbers were made available to the public, I would bet, don't know it to be true, I would bet that they have seen a perceptible increase in the number of people say, I don't trust the banks, I'm getting my money out now. All right? They've had an effect even here. Are they going to have, is the problem on the Greek part of Cyprus going to affect the Turkish part? Of course. How else could it be? You think by being across the line in Turkey, if they can reach out, if it can affect in this country, you think it doesn't affect on the Turkish side of the same island? You know, I mean, it has to be that way. That's a certain amount of common sense and, you know, my perspective, but... So in any case, that make any sense, Melody?
Absolutely. Here's another question. In Ben Bernanke, it's been said that he's done virtually nothing in terms of stimulating the economy, but he's done a tremendous amount to stimulate asset prices, as you can see that reflected in many of the world's stock markets, particularly ours.
Okay. Does he have a question? Or
it's just mainly a comment from you.
Well, he's right. Bernanke claims that what he's doing, Helicopter Ben, in the event we are threatened with a depression or with a commercial announcement. So we're not going to have a depression, but we'll have commercial announcements. We'll come back and address that question in a moment. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom at Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. All your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, we had, I don't know where you want to go right now, but we had a question, and I don't remember exactly what it was. You're going to have to read it to me again if that's what you want to do right now.
We can do that. We also have Jim from West Virginia calling. So
why don't we finish that question first? Jim will wait for a moment. We'll get to Jim shortly, and let's finish that question because we're sitting in the back of my mind, and it's kind of like a burr under my saddle. You understand? I got to deal with it.
Well, it's about what Ben Bernanke has done to stimulate the economy, and he's done a tremendous amount to stimulate the asset prices as we see it in the world stock markets and particularly ours.
Yeah, there's people who complain. I just saw an article yesterday that makes a certain amount of sense. Bernanke has allegedly helicopter Ben. He said all along that in the event of an economic problem, serious recession or whatever, he would dump dollars out of helicopters if that's what he had to do to keep the economy going. But he never really did that. If he dumped them out of helicopters, the average man on the street would have laid hands on those dollars and been able to stimulate the economy from the perspective of the average man and perhaps even for the benefit of the average man. What they did instead was essentially helicopter Ben released his dollars over Wall Street. And although there's been trillions of dollars, extra dollars released, most of them are just banging around Wall Street. They haven't really gotten out to Main Street. And there's a case to be made that whether it was Bernanke's intent or not, he has stimulated Wall Street. He has not stimulated Main Street. And his and therefore his stimulation program has so far been largely ineffective, except for a relative handful of people who work on Wall Street. They're making money. They're getting rich, a lot of them. I won't say everyone does, but a lot of them are. Main Street hasn't had that effect. So this opinion is consistent with the idea that asset prices are rising in things like stocks, for example, just because that's what Wall Street does. Ben Bernanke's been great for the stock market. He's been great for Wall Street. For those of you who don't live on Wall Street, maybe it hasn't been so good for you. So,
are you ready for Jim?
Let me take a fast cup of. All right, I don't even need any coffee. I'll deal with Jim without benefit of coffee. Jim, are you there?
You're my victim. I come at this not from the point of view of a lawyer or from the point of view of politics, but as an economist. And according to an economist, anything which people engage in to make money is a business. So government is just a business. And if you don't believe that your government is in the business of taking as much as they possibly can from those they control, do a net search with four words, and I'll repeat them. Marshall, law, executive order. Marshall, MARTIAL, law, executive order. Order, and you'll see what this is all about, folks. So you better, if you don't want it taken from you, better find some means they can't get it, and you better be ready to protect it. That's all I need to say.
All right, Jim, thank you. We appreciate your comment. What Jim's talking about, at least in part, what he's touching on, is that there are two ways to make money in this world. One way is by providing a service or a product that benefits the people. You come up with a new idea. I've got a new idea that will stop cancer. I'm going to make it available. I'm going to put it on the market, and the people will benefit from it. And the people will pay me for my new invention or the product that I'm providing where we can stop cancer. All right? I make money that way. But you can also make money by running a scam. We'll call it the pharmaceutical industry, where we won't actually provide a cure for cancer. What we'll do is we will provide something that suppresses symptoms. We'll provide a means to extract as much money as possible out of the public, those poor people who have cancer. And the difference is one individual is out there helping the people and profiting from it. Like Henry Ford, he invented the assembly line. All right, he got rich off of it. Well, he was entitled. He benefited the people. He did good for people. There's other people that make money by doing bad. And they don't benefit the people. They only benefit themselves. They don't make a new creation. They don't offer a less expensive product. They figure a way of cornering the market, getting the government to pass laws to prevent competition. And then they make a bunch of money off the public. And we are blinded, most of us, or ignorant, to this difference. We got some good people out there that are making money because they make a productive contribution. We got a bunch of people out there that are making money because they're hustlers and con artists, and they're killing us. All right? And the government goes right along with them because these bad people, the ones that don't really make a productive contribution, but they want it out of avarice, out of greed, they go ahead and say, government, we'll give you some money. Congressman, we'll give you some money. You pass a law that helps me rob more people, makes it legal for me to take more money from the taxpayers and the ignoramuses out there in TV land. And Congressman says, how much money you got? And they say, we got a lot. And the congressman says, great, we can do business. The congressman isn't legislating, he's brokering. All right? He's working like a stockbroker, and they sell laws. Where stockbrokers sell stocks, congressmen and senators and even presidents, they sell laws. And the world we are being damaged while this is allowed to continue. And the reason it happens is because people have been led to believe that no matter what you do, if you make money, it's good. If it's profitable, if it's to your advantage, hooray, get it. Get what you can. Take care of number one. It's part of the mentality of this country, and it won't work. The people that are entitled to serious money are the people that are are the people who have made serious contributions for the benefit of all. Well, any case, that's what Jim's comment in, you know, it rings that bell for me.
We got this question in from Mick. He says, are we even sure any of this news is true?
Right.
Did Cyprus really happen? Is North Korea really making videos? He doesn't even think we even landed on the moon. The moon rock given to the London Museum was proven to be a piece of petrified wood. Mm. All the videos of the moon landings are either lost or have been taped over. And this was 1969 technology. So they are the grand manipulators.
It's hard to say what is true. There's things that I have seen with my own two eyes that I believe to be true. There's other things that I've merely read about and heard about, and I comment on them, and that's the majority of what passes for knowledge for me. You know, only a fraction of knowledge is what I've personally seen. The balance is opinion and belief based on what I've heard or read from others. But you have to take a certain amount of this. If I don't know something is true because I've seen it, I don't know that it's false either. You have to work with a certain amount of this information, and you have to presume that it is probably correct. But you got to recognize there's no telling how much we have been deceived. It's one of these things that's difficult to even, how can you be sure? How much information do I know and believe in that is actually a form of deception? How much does the average American believe in that is in fact an intentional deception foisted off on? And how do you explain to somebody, no, you're deceived. You're believing in things that just aren't true. I guarantee they'll fight you. They'll step outside. We'll settle this outside in front of the bar. You understand? It's not easy to overcome your own, whatever deception you've been subjected to. Stephen Hawking, Hawking, in any case, the physicist who's in a wheelchair because he has multiple sclerosis, if I understand correctly. Hawking has said something to the effect, it's not the absence of knowledge that is our enemy. He says the enemy is the illusion of knowledge. Ignorance is not the problem. In his opinion, the problem is the illusion of knowledge, those of us who think we know what the truth is, and maybe we're wrong. Ignorance can be overcome, especially once it's recognized. You sit back and say, well, I don't know much about that, but I guess I could learn. Ignorance can be overcome, but once you get that illusion of knowledge in your mind, how do you overcome that? How do you explain to someone that something they've believed in, and perhaps passionately, over the course of the last, who knows, 10 years, 20 years, whatever. How do you explain to them, no, that was a mistake. You know, you got the wrong idea there. I guarantee it's not easily done. So, are we subjected to illusions? Absolutely. Are we deceived in many respects? Absolutely. But which ones? You know, hard to know. So you got to keep your eyes open and do the best you can to discern the truth.
I mean, you can even look at the news and you look at the digits. I mean, we know all the numbers we see. It's all digits, all computerized. Who knows? You could have somebody just sitting there on a daily basis just typing in the numbers, showing the Dow going up, showing gold going down.
Exactly. You know? What is the biggest delusion about these, about digital currency or digital numbers and so on? What's the biggest delusion? The biggest delusion is they have any real meaning. I can have a bank account that's being stored on a bank's hard drive that indicates I have $1,000 in the bank account. I could have $10,000. I could have $100 million. What difference does it make except a couple of little zeros added on to how much currency I allegedly have? And yet they will jail people if you don't pay enough taxes. They will disconnect your utilities if you don't pay your utility bill. And what are you paying it in? You're paying it in an electronic digit, which can be increased, decreased with nothing more than a keystroke. There is a delusion, a deception involved here where we even consider these electronic digits to be real money. They are no more real. They have no more reality than monopoly money, and maybe less, because monopoly money is at least paper. The stuff in the banks is just digits on a hard drive. It's like getting into one of these games where how many Klingons did you kill today? Oh, I killed 418 Klingons today. No, you didn't. You didn't kill anybody. You're just playing a game. You know, this is a very strange world we live in, and much of the strangeness flows from an artificial environment where we've been led to believe that some things are real that are not. They're just illusions. Your fiat dollar is an illusion of money. It's not really money. Gold and silver is money. Fiat dollars are just illusions, and especially if they're digital. I mean, there's a little bit of substance to the paper, not much. Nickel's worth of paper and ink, huh? And a dollar or a $100 bill. Huh? But where's the reality in digital? And if it's all digital, why not just, okay, we're having a problem. Somebody add another six or 10 or however many. How many zeros do we need to add today to pay off the national debt, Melody? Well, let's do it. Let's get somebody on the computer and just type in how many zeros. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And all of a sudden, the national debt's bang, it's gone. See how simple it is? I mean, the whole thing becomes irrational if you sit back and look at it. This goes back to the, you know, the previous question dealing with how much illusion do we have? And it also goes to the idea of financial survival and how long can you survive on illusions? How long can you survive if you base your life on ideas and concepts and even currencies that are fundamentally imaginary? From my perspective, there is a certain logic in all of this that ultimately must prevail, and that logic says, I must get back to the real world. I must somehow manage to get away from the deceptions, find out what's real, and deal in a sense of reality. How do you do that? One of the ways, I want a piece of gold in my hand. I do not want a one or a zero on somebody's hard drive. I want a piece of gold. I don't have a perfect solution, but I can tell you, for me, the lies have to fail. The deception has to fail. We're headed back to reality. And when we get there, those who are holding gold and silver will be happy. It will be a good trip for those that are still holding gold and silver. You'll be ready to deal with the real world. I don't know how anybody can ultimately deal with the fictional world, the imaginary world. We're about out of time. Melody, would you like to...
Yes, they could give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Wendy Wilson will be joining us tomorrow for the first 20-minute segment of the program. And I want to thank each and every one of us for joining us today, Al.
Okay. Again, thanks for listening, folks. We will be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. Money.